and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 188, the Anywho episode. I was listening to the Quilt Diaries yesterday, and I keep using Anywho as a transition. I don't know when I started doing that. It's like, when did I become the Anywho girl? I don't know. I could also call this the revisions episode because I am trying to get in the mindset of a creative artist when I am thinking about making quilts, designing quilts. I'm going to put quotes around the designing, but I guess I am. But I'm working on the modern birds in the air. And I think when I set out to make a quilt, I feel like I've only got one shot at it. Whereas when I set out to write a novel, I know that it's actually going to take four or five shots to get it right. And so when I'm making up a quilt, the idea that I would get it perfect the right time is a little ludicrous, right? I mean, you need to think like a creative artist when you are designing, and that means it's going to take do-overs. Right? Maybe we call this the do-over episode. And so I like the idea of having different versions of a quilt. And I think because when I'm writing a novel, I'm not writing it on yards of fabric. It's not costing me like $12 a page to revise. I think that may be partly why I can feel a little daunting to start out on a quilt. And so I could just make the same quilt three different times until I get it right. But that is, of course, the beauty of solids. At least it's only $7 a yard. Yeah. Anyway, but I need to be open to that. I need to be open to the idea that my first shot at a quilt, when I'm making it up myself, may just be a first draft. So that's revision, the revision episode. It could be called the Whose Quilt Is It Anyway episode. In the second quilt diary, I tell you about a crib quilt I'm making for one of Jack's teachers. And I got the idea. I wanted a simple quilt. I need to have this done by May 18th. Wanted a simple, cute quilt top. And so I looked around on the internet, as we do, and I saw a block, super easy. I mean, I saw a quilt. And the blocks are simply, we've all done it. You sew together six strips of fabric. You cut them on the diagonal. You put a solid border around the strips. Your block is done. So I saw a quilt like that. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I can just use the colors that Jack's teacher wants, fuchsias and corals and grays and, well, yellow. I didn't get any yellow fabric. I'm so anti-yellow. But yes, that seemed like, wow, I could just put this together very, very quickly. And so I've started working on it. And you can go to offkilterquilt.com to the show notes, and you can see I just have about six blocks at this point. I'm working on a number of quilts at once, which means I'm, on the one hand, making lots of progress, and on the other hand, not making very much progress at all. But and you can see the blocks, and you can tell me what fealty do I owe to the person whose quilt I saw and thought, oh, I can make that block. And I think I pinned that quilt on Pinterest. So I will go find the original quilt and put that in the show notes as well. It's just my question, you know, because we've talked about copyright a good bit, and the idea of at what point does a block or a pattern become copyrightable? And, you know, I'm suggesting a new rule of thumb. It's called the eyeball rule of thumb. If you can eyeball a pattern and figure it out yourself, not sure that's a copyrightable pattern. And I didn't use the pattern. I just saw a block. Am I just vacillating? Am I, you know, do I contradict myself? Very well, then I contradict myself. That's Walt Whitman. I've quoted him before on this podcast because we all know that I do contradict myself all the time. Anyway, take a look. And see, I said anyway, not anywho. I should have said anywho. Take a look and let me know your thoughts. It's interesting to me. All right, I want to get on with the Quilt Diaries because I'm trying to keep this podcast under an hour, ideally 45 minutes, but I don't think I'm past that already. So that's not going to happen. I want to say I am now on Instagram as the Off Kilter Quilt. So follow me and I'll follow you back. I've tried to follow all my friends already, my quilty friends, my twilter friends. So, but if somehow, if the Off Kilter Quilt is not following you, follow me. I'll follow back. Promise. And also want to remind you, if you have not seen the Marie Bostwick interview on the Off Kilter Quilt blog, please go read it. And you have until this Friday. I should say today is Wednesday, April 20th. And you have until this Friday, April 22nd, to enter a comment to win a copy of her new book, which is Between Here and Home. Is that right? Her new book. We'll just say her new book. I'm sorry, it's not in front of me. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy because you know what? Marie was so nice. It is called From Here to Home. It's the new Marie Bostwick. You could win it. Come over, leave a comment, and then also leave a comment on episode 188, whatever I'm calling it. I love to hear from you. So with that, on to the Quilt Diaries. P.S. I can't believe I forgot to tell you this. Well, to be honest, it's only been about 24 hours since I could tell you this. But the word is now out, and I'm very excited to say that I will be kicking off my Birds in the Air book tour on September 24th. At the 2016 Stars and Stitches Quilt Show put on by the Chattahoochee Evening Stars Quilt Guild. This is Atlanta, or let's call it the Atlanta area, Alpharetta. This is going to be big for me, and I'm so thankful to Quilt and Jenny for making this happen. I will be there. I will read from Birds in the Air. I will sign copies of the book. I will talk about quilts, all kinds of things. So I'm very, very excited. And I wanted to let you know, I will be talking more about it as we get closer to the day. But put it on your calendar if you live in the, Atlanta metro area. I'd love to see you. Okay, now on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Monday, April 11th, 2016. If I sound a little froggy, it's morning. It's morning. I just took my walk. Who knows how much pollen I've ingested. And so I'll try to keep my coughing off the air. Besides, I like it when I kind of have a craggy voice. I think it's, kind of fabulous. Hello. I've got quilty stuff to tell you. I'm going to do it chronologically, which means I will start with Uncle Eli's quilting party, which was Thursday, April 7th. It is always on the first Thursday of the month of April every year. Now, the interesting thing is, last year the man and I went and made a video. We didn't this year. We brought cameras. I took pictures of quilts. The man took pictures of the general scene. I'm going to put up a gallery on my blog here soon, I hope. I hope I'll have time later this week to do that. What was interesting was it was very much almost exactly the way it was last year. A lot of the same quilts hanging, although some new quilts, and coolly enough, some modern quilts were there, which was just nice. Let's get some modern. Let's get a little bit of everything going there. The quilts on the frames, the man pointed out, were exactly the same ones from last year. So I think they just store those up. One of the quilts especially is just humongous. And, there are only a couple people ever working on it. There's Libby McBain, whose mother is one of the organizers, Nanny Lou McBain. Libby is there every year, and that's what she does. She works on the quilt. She teaches people. And oftentimes there will be children there, and she's teaching them how to hand quilt a quilt, which is very cool. A lot of whiteheads. And that has got me thinking, this is such a neat event. Again, it's been going on forever. The women who are organizing it now are in their 80s. They're quite frail, although it seemed to be in every way present and highly functioning. But Nanny Lou is in a wheelchair, for instance, and she has been for a couple of years now. This is something they've been doing since the 70s, maybe earlier. I'm not sure when Nanny Lou took over. One of the women who organized it for a long time was Pat Bailey, and she passed away a few years ago, and I can't remember the third woman's name. In any event, they're in their 80s, and their adult children are very interested in seeing this tradition continue. But you know, I've been thinking about this. It's a great tradition, and there are ways it could continue. For instance, probably the best thing they could do, if they really wanted people to show up and have more quilts and just more activity, would be to do it on a Saturday, to do the first Saturday in April, because it's hard. I mean, the community tradition started 85 years ago when the principal of the new high school decided he wanted to get families involved in the school. He knew even back then, successful schools are schools where the whole family is invested in the school. And so he had this quilting bee, and all the women of the community came. It was, you know, on the first Thursday of the month, and they would come. And this is when women really were making quilts and, you know, using quilt frames to do hand quilt their quilts and all of that. And so the women would set up in the morning, and during the day, classes of children would come through. And there was many, sometimes there's many as, you know, 15 quilt frames up, and they would come through and look, and the women quilted all day. There was a covered lunch, you know, I can't think of what you would say, covered dish lunch. There, that was the missing word, dish. And then in the evening, there was a big community dinner, and this went on for years and years. The tradition now is still on the Thursday. There's still a potluck lunch, but the school isn't there anymore. Most people, most women in the community of working age are working and aren't quilting. Maybe they are quilters, but they, you know, so it's not the same. You could have it on Saturday. Get more people in. Connect with a quilt guild from Alamance County. That's where Eli Whitney is. And in fact, Alamance County, I'm fairly sure, has a pretty active quilt guild. So you could partner with them. You could make a nonprofit to keep it going. And there's a way in which that would be wonderful. I love celebrating heritage. I love celebrating community traditions. In a way, you know, I think maybe when the group of women in their 80s who are now in charge of organizing it, maybe when they pass on, it's just time to say this tradition has lived out its life. This is its lifespan. And it feels sad to say that, but at the same time, some things do. They have, everything has, not everything lasts forever, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know how meaningful Uncle Eli's quilting party is to people in that community, say under the age of 60 or 50, people who didn't really grow up with quilters in their family and a quilting bee being a big deal, people who don't remember the school, right? Where the quilting party is in the community center, which was the school's gym way back in the day. So I don't know. I'm thinking about these things. I would love to see it go on, but I would also love to see the energy continue to be generated by the community itself. And I feel like that may not happen. But I also feel like that's okay. That's okay. Any event, this weekend, I worked like a crazy lady to finish the VFW Star Quilt. And I vacillated. Part of me is like, just chill out, because you are not going to have this quilt done in time for the Modern Quilt Guild meeting on Sunday. But part of me was like, but maybe you will. So my main goal was to not rush it, so I felt like I was making errors in judgment or making a lot of mistakes. But the closer I got, I worked on it for a long time on Saturday, and I realized I was very, very close, and I might be able to pull it off. It would really depend on the binding. I went, by the way, with a sort of salmon colored binding because I felt very strongly, you know, the background of this quilt is a navy blue. And there's a lot of color in the quilt, but the color one sort of leans toward the right or maybe the left. Anyway, there's a big expanse on one side. We'll just say it's the left side of blue. And I just felt like it needs to pop. this quilt needs a little bit more color. And I think I made the right decision. I like it. One of the things that, as I was finishing up the quilting, I had an idea. So I did straight line quilting, and I did different, you know, kinds of straight line quilting throughout the quilt, which was a lot of fun, and I like how the quilting turned out. One of the things I did, so, you know, I'll say on the right side, the border on the right side is a piano key border. And so on the left side, there's actually a strip of blue fabric. You know, you can't really see the seam, but it's about the same width as the piano key border. So I decided to go ahead and sort of quilt it in piano key lines. So it echoes or mirrors the other side, only this side is navy blue. And I thought it might be interesting actually to quilt some color in there. And to, I had, you know, some orange thread and some salmon thread. And I thought to do a few keys in color, and that might be a way to add color to that side of the quilt, and it might look really interesting. So I did a little bit. And then I looked at it, and it was such a great idea, but it didn't work. And I think it's because it narrowed the quilt in the way that wasn't good. It did create more of a border on the left side, but then it put the quilt out of whack. And it, which is funny because it's a wonky quilt, right? It's not square. It's not rectangle. It's a rhombus. It's something. I would ask Pam, but over at Hip to Be Square, who has always been my math go-to person, and then I just listened to her most recent podcast, and it turns out she makes the same math errors as I do, and I don't know if I could live with that. Anyway, Pam, if you do know the shape of what I'm talking about, which is a shape with angles, each corner a different angle, that's geometry, Pam. Help me out. Anywho, that didn't work. So I did actually have some unquilting to do, which I did Saturday night, watching the final episode of The People vs. O.J. Simpson. A great series. The acting is so good. I think I've said my only issue is the casting of Cuba Gooding Jr., who is a very good actor, but I felt like he just didn't have O.J.'s presence. O.J. was just such a handsome man. He's not anymore, but he was. And even then, he still had his looks. And Cuba Gooding, he's too small. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But that, so I unquilted. And yesterday, and what else did I do? I made the binding Saturday night. Unquilted what I didn't want. And then Sunday, worked on putting on the binding. I went to Sunday school, skipped church. God loves me anyway. I hope. In any event, so there were two issues putting on the binding. One was going to be how fast could I sew the binding to the back. But the first issue was I had promised myself with this quilt I was going to do the hard bind off. Do you know what I mean? I don't think bind off is what you call it, but when you finish the binding and you join the beginning in the end, the alpha and the omega of the binding, right? So maybe it's just called joining the binding. And I've always done the kind of wimpy way, not the easiest way, but the second easiest way, where you're kind of angling, you know, you cut off your ends at angles and you slip one end into the other end and then you sew it down and da 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 da. And you can make that look nice, but it's always there's always going to be a little lump. It's always a visual disruption when you look at the quilt, that little bloop of a lump popping out. So, I've tried to do the hard join, way, we'll call it that. And have had no luck. But my mom, a while back, gave me the Craftsy class. It may be Mimi Schwartz, but it's not like Perfect Finish, something like that. I'll put it in the show notes. And I thought, I'm going to sit down with Mimi. I'm going to really watch her, and I'm going to get this. And amazingly enough, on my second try, I did. And this is where you flatten out each end of the binding and you put one end over the other, and so it makes this A without the line, and then you sew diagonally on the little square that you make by joining the two ends together by laying one end on the other. Then you have, you know, it's like doing binding, right? And I sewed it the wrong way the first time, but the second time I got it. And it is a beautiful thing. It's like you have at that point when you sew it on, you can't see it. I can't even tell now where it was that I did that. So I finally did that, and I'll do it again and again, and I know that I will mess it up for a long time. The same way, you know, for the first 3 years that I quilted, I always messed up at least one binding strip when I was sewing the binding. I always got one backwards. I did that this time, too. I actually have had many bindings in a row where I actually sewed all the strips correctly and did not have to, you know, flip one. So it is my belief that one day I will do this technique, the hard joining technique, perfectly the first time. But I don't care. I'm just so happy that I can do it. And I think I understand it. I think I understand the configuration. So anyway, very exciting. And then I sat down to sew the binding to the back. And as I did so, I saw some places where I needed to fix the quilting. But I wasn't worried about that. And I knew I would not have time to wash the quilt. But it turned out it took about 15 to 20 minutes a side, which is actually, I feel like I'm getting much faster at sewing on the binding. And I'm wondering if that's all the hand piecing I'm doing. I'm just more relaxed with the needle. It's a different kind of sewing. It's not the same as the hand piecing, but I just kind of felt like, oh, I'm doing, you know, I just shoop, shoop, shoop. And I did a good job. It wasn't messy or sloppy or anything. And I got almost all the way done. I thought, I can finish this at the meeting. So then I took masking tape and got all the loose threads off and all of that. So then I went to the meeting. And can I say, this is one of the nicest groups of people I have ever joined up with. And it's such, I felt that last time. You know, I went to the Modern Quilt Guild meeting in February. And I thought everyone was super nice. And that's when I decided, even when they switched to a meeting place that was about 20 minutes, 25 minutes from my house, that I would go. And in fact, this month, that's what they did. And it was very fun. Everyone was so nice. And I actually joined. And so I was introduced. And everyone was super nice. And it was a really nice mix of people. Age-wise, I think there was a woman who really looked like she was probably in her 70s, and there were some more middle-aged women like myself, I think, you know, and a little bit older, a little bit younger, and then, you know, looked like a lot of women in their 30s. So that was nice, and one of the members did a charming presentation on free motion quilting, during the break, a woman came up to me who I had been in a little small group with the last time and said, "Now, do I know you? I feel like..." And so we talked. Then I talked with the woman I was sitting next to. It turns out who lives fairly close to me, about 8 minutes away, and we're going to ride together next time. So just a great... So friendly. And, you know, you don't always find that. Now, in the Durham Orange Quilt Guild, I don't know if people are friendly or not. In a way, I haven't given them a chance. I go sporadically. I always get there about 5 minutes late. Everyone seems nice. But whether or not, you know... I haven't given them an opportunity to be friendly and welcoming to me, so I can't compare and contrast. There were about 30 women at the meeting yesterday. It was a very different vibe, just lighter, and because it was a smaller group, and so people were really talking back and forth, and when Valerie was giving her presentation on free motion quilting, people were asking questions, or she was asking us questions, and there was a lot of crosstalk, and someone said, "Oh, I've tried this, I've tried that." I will tell you, I have learned some things quilting this VFW quilt. One, straight lines rock. But two, and I really had not thought about this at all because, I mean, one, you know, I don't think things through anyway. But two, you know, this quilt was in some ways entirely improvised, even with the blocks, our traditional star blocks. Every decision was made, you know, as I came to it. And that included using the blue background. Which I like and I think looks cool, but you know, I decided to go with the periwinkle, which I love, on the back. And on the one hand, it looks really nice. It's a beautiful color. It works well with the star, with the big star on the back. But when I was quilting, I used a navy blue Aurifil for all the spots, you know, the navy blue spots. And that thread, you know, there are plenty of places in the back where you can see the navy blue thread that it's come up. And some of that, you know, and so there's no forgiveness there, right? If the back had been navy blue, you wouldn't have noticed it, but because the back is periwinkle, you really do. I'm not going to re-quilt it. This is not a show quilt. This is a quilt I'm going to hang on a wall someplace. But I thought, you know, that's worth thinking about, working in solids, the idea that using a darker quilting thread, any error, right, any tension problems at all, it's going to show up very clearly on the back of the quilt. The other thing is, you know, I've never given a lot of thought to thread. I use Aurifil primarily, the 50 weight, I think it's 50. But also, you know, depending, I mean, Thimble Pleasures carries a lot of different brands of thread. They carry King Tut, I think they carry Superior, and some other things as well. Typically, I go for the Aurifil, but sometimes the King Tut has more what I want. And so in my bobbin thread, I use this King Tut, and it's a kind of a really, I guess, a violet, but it's variegated, and it's very nice, and it was exactly right color-wise for the bottom of the quilt. But it was a heavier thread than the Aurifil, and I don't know if that accounted for my Aurifil broke a lot. And one of the things that Valerie talked about in her presentation, I think she had taken a class with Leah Day, and I've got the Leah Day Craftsy class, and so some of the stuff she talked about was familiar, but she was saying that Leah Day actually uses, when she quilts, a poly thread. Maybe, I don't know if it's a poly cotton blend. I don't know if in threads they blend, but it's a polyester, so it's either a poly cotton or just a polyester thread that she likes a lot. And I could see that, because that was frustrating. But it may, I don't know if it had to do with the fact that I have different weights. And then someone was telling me there's actually thread you can get, and maybe it's called Bobbin Fill, but it is for the bobbin thread. So, and Thimble Pleasures carries it. So the next time I go over, I'll take a look at that. So, good meeting. I showed my quilt. People were very nice about it. We talked about it. Oh, the other thing is someone asked, what color batting did I use? I said, you know, I just used the batting I have. It was white. And she said, she asked, if did I have problems with the batting coming up? And I said, yes. That's another thing. Using the navy blue, I can see little bits of batting, you know, that have kind of popped up through, you know, with the quilting. So I hadn't thought about that either. Maybe I'll take a Sharpie, color them in. I won't, I promise. So I have learned things with this quilt. Maybe tomorrow, I want to do there are a couple places in the quilting, not many, that need a little repair work. And I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to wash it and call it done. I like the way it looks. It is what it is. You know, I can look at it and say, huh, I wish I had done some more border, you know, added some navy blue fabric to the top and bottom. And I think, you know, there are things I could have done. But it wasn't that kind of quilt. You know, it was, I'm having fun. I'm making this up as I go. I'm playing. And I like how it looks. So I'm not sending it to QuiltCon, because I, you know, but it's okay. And I learned things from making it. And I was glad to have the meeting yesterday, kind of, you know, it was good to have that goal, even though I gave myself an escape clause. It's like, you know, I didn't want to get stressed out by trying to finish. But as long as I was having fun and felt like, you know, I could do it, then it was good to have a deadline to finish up the quilt. But I found the meeting delightful, and it is nice. Friendly people are nice. And, you know, sometimes with women, we are the nicest people in the world, and sometimes we can be kind of cliquey, but this was not a cliquey group. So I'm excited to be a part of it, and I'm going to try to be active in it. So that is my news. And now on to the next projects. I had a good idea. A number of people had wall hanging size quilts. And I think they were often quilts yesterday at show and tell. Sorry. I think they were quilts that sort of to learn techniques, to try different piecing techniques. Like one was a curved piecing class, and One was just someone who wanted to practice their free motion quilting. And I thought, you know, as I'm thinking about how to do a modern birds in the air, I thought, well, you know, I could start with some small quilts and see, you know, try out, because one of the things I'm trying to figure out is how to do the birds. I don't know. So I like that idea, and I actually have a space in my hallway that really needs something. I'm like, well, I could work on birds in the air quilts. You know, I couldn't tell you 20 by 30 or something like that. Not even that big. So I like that idea. So that my next step, I continue to work on my Civil War era birds in the air, and then start doing a little designing and playing. And who knows, maybe I'll even get out my EQ7. Whew, and go from there. So that is it for now. I've got to get to work, so I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Quilt Diary, day two. It's Sunday, April 17th. I'm sitting on the back porch. Hopefully you can hear the birds and children and traffic, all sorts of things going on out here. And Travis is on my lap, and I hope he will not make any sudden barks. I am very pleased to report that the tomatoes, the first round of tomatoes, have been planted. The man went down to the farmer's market yesterday and bought some healthy, thriving plants, and they seem to have survived the night and today's sun. So yay! Now, it's just the beginning, just the beginning. We have a very small garden this year. We just knew we were going to be really busy this summer. And there's something about planting a big garden and then giving up on it kind of halfway through, and then all the weeds and the overgrowth is a little depressing. So we thought, we know we'll eat the tomatoes. We still have blueberries, and now we have raspberries. So I think it'll be a good summer, and then we can go to the farmer's market when we're feeling the need for fresh and wonderful summer produce. Anyway, hello. Hello, I've got one word for you. One word, chevron. I have been racking my brain for I don't know how long, a month, trying to figure out how to do a modern birds in the air quilt. And I thought, there's got to be something I can do with half square triangles. But what is it? And I've been searching around online, and I found something, and I'll show you. I'll put a picture in the show notes of a block I did. It's actually two blocks that forms a bird of sorts. I didn't do it quite right in terms of how I use my color, but you'll be able to see it in the picture. But it's sort of a stealth bomber kind of bird. It's a very more totem pole kind of southwestern kind of, you know, that kind of iconic eagle-inspired bird. It's cute, though. It's a cute eagle bird. But it's made from half-square triangles. By the way, what is half of a half-square triangle? Do you know, I'm not talking about quarter-square triangles. Oh, my goodness. They're cheers. They're cheering for me down the street. I have no idea what's going on. But, you know, when you're talking about a half-square triangle, you're actually talking about two triangles, right? And typically of different colors, but I don't even know how to say, well, half of the half square, I know how to say half of the half square triangle. Half of the half square triangle was blue, and half of the half square triangle was white. But yeah, there's got to be a simpler lexicon for this kind of talk. I don't know what it is in any event. So I was messing around with that and not feeling like I'd really hit upon it. And then the other day I picked up a copy of Quilter's newsletter. I actually got a bunch of Quilter's newsletters, almost the entire run of 1986 when I was at Uncle Eli's quilting party. I think they had every one from that year except maybe March. So now I have to go on eBay and find March 1986. And I was looking through it on the very last page. There is a section that's called Quilter's Newsletter Magazine, or Q&M Readers, a Quilt Show. And I looked at a quilt. It's a small quilt called Winterbirds, Central Park. And it's very, there's something about the fabric. There's something about the whole thing that feels very 80s. It's a nice quilt. But, you know, it's just the colors. And that's one of the things I'm interested in, looking at these 1980s quilters' newsletters, because I feel like 1980s is like the lost decade when it comes to quilting. I mean, not for everyone, and that would be interesting to talk to Sandy over quilting for the rest of us, because her mother was a very active quilter, I think forever, and so it might be interesting to ask Sandy what her memories from the 80s or in terms of the kind of fabric her mother was using, the kind of quilts her mom was making. But in any event, I was looking at this quilt, and the trees, the Central Park trees, are made from sort of arrows. A couple of arrows have, let's say, double triangles, double heads, double-headed trees. I don't know, but in any event, but they look like arrows. And then, over to the left, there are three chevrons, which I think are supposed to be birds. And they're black against a blue sky. And I thought, chevrons. Chevrons look like birds. In fact, is chevron like French for bird? I don't think it is. But I meant to look that up before I started talking to you. Because chevrons look like birds. Chevrons. And then I'm like, how the heck you make a chevron? But of course, from half square triangles. So I began constructing in my head an idea for a modern birds in the air that would involve chevrons. So I started out with this idea of having birds flying into the air, birds in the air, yeah, and but it being sunset, because I thought just having blue and white squares, chevron squares, it seemed like that seemed a little blah. I want, how do you bring in some color? And I thought, well, sunset, the highest part of the sky at sunset is kind of a periwinkle blue. And you know me, I love the periwinkle. Any excuse to bring in the periwinkle, I will do it. So I had that idea, the sum of the birds, the background fabric would be periwinkle. And the sum would be white, because if you look, they're just this strata of colors, is that the right way to say it? You know, and so near the horizon, or on the horizon, it's that's like at a certain point in sunset, that is the intense orange, and then but there can be white right above it, and then blue. So I thought, well, I'll try that. Now, I got fabric, I went to Thimble Pleasures and got this fabric. It's a directional print, with it's the background is kind of a creamy orange, and then the print is arrows facing in either direction that are sort of a peachy and orange arrows. I'll, if I think about it, I'll put a sample in the show notes. But I thought, well, that could be, so it could be periwinkle, and then this orange directional arrow print, and the very small arrows, very tiny, and then white, or even... Yeah, that's how I was working. For, I was thinking that the white would be close to the horizon, but that's actually not right. Anywho, made the chevrons. Spent a lot of time Friday. I've worked very intensely on this quilt. It's Sunday, as I said, and it's been this beautiful weekend. I feel I've just been inside working obsessively on trying to figure this out. And it's the experience that I've had before where you're trying out something and you know on one level that it's not working. That orange print was not working. It's a darling print. The chevrons are blue, like a medium blue, maybe even a royal blue, if I have the right idea of what royal blue is, kind of medium blue, but with a little bit more intensity. And that, the blocks themselves look very nice. And I'm making, gosh, now I can't remember what size they are. Sorry, let me do the math. Six. I think they're 6-inch blocks. The blocks themselves are darling, but it just wasn't working. It wasn't working, and I would do the quick drive-by squint, like, is this working? It's like, no, and I would take out, you know, I've got the color, what do you call it? You know, when you look at the thing, the tool that has all the different colors, and then you can look through, comes with a green piece of plastic and a red piece of plastic. And I believe if you look through the red, it kind of gives you, it lets you see intensity of color, whatever. So I kept, and it was basically blanked out the orange print. When I did that, I liked it just fine, but then I realized, you know, here's the thing. This is about play. And I'm also, need to let myself revise. And I think sometimes I'm a little loath to do that. I eventually usually do. I will correct things. But for some reason, it's like, oh, I want it to be right now. You know, I want this to work out exactly the way I want it to now. And I'm like, that nothing else in my life works out perfectly the first time around. So I'm not sure why I would expect a quilt that I am making up as I go along. You know, it's like I have to allow myself to make mistakes and to correct the mistakes and to revise. So I finally, at some point yesterday, said, you know what? They've got to go. They're not working. So I took them out and then just worked with the periwinkle back chevrons and the white. And that seems, I like it. And what I did, so today I sewed that together. They're all on point. And then at the bottom, quote unquote bottom, at the bottom angle, right, I sewed on a strip of salmon fabric that I would say is probably 4 inches wide. So that's the intense color at the bottom of the horizon. Now today I had the very fun experience of trying to figure out how am I going to make this square, right? Not, I mean, so, you know, when you do something on point, you have a diamond and then you have to add fabric, basically triangles to the side, right? To make it actually vertical. Do you know, why do you listen to this podcast? I have no idea. I can't explain myself. You know what I mean. Now, here's the thing. That involves math. I got the graph paper. I made a little, I cut out a little square the size, not the actual size, but I figured it out and cut out my square and put it up for the actual birds in the air, let's call it element. So that the on point element. And I want the quilt to be lap size, which I'm going to call 60 by 68. By the way, when you look up quilt dimensions, there are no two quilt dimensions for lap size the same on the internet. You will not find, you can find tons of lists. A lot of lists of quilt dimensions don't even bring up lap size. But when you do, their odds are 60 by 60, 49 by 72. I mean, it's all over the map. Basically, we don't know. There is no, as far as I can tell, no one set size. There's not for anything. We're all making it up. I mean, it's good to know when you're getting into bed quilts, obviously, what are the size of the mattress and then the top of the, you know, all that. But that's a different thing. Laps are different sizes, and nobody makes the same dimensions for lap quilts, ever. Anyway, so I decided 60 by 68 would be a nice lap size quilt. So I sat there and tried to figure it out and like tried to figure out what size would the triangles that I'm adding to my diamond to make a square, what size are they going to be? I don't think I was that far off, but I just kind of don't trust my math skills. I just don't. And this is why I will learn EQ7. That may be what I do tonight, because it turns out the boys don't have school tomorrow. It's a teacher work day. Yahoo! I wish I'd known that last week so I could have spent all week looking forward to sleeping in tomorrow, but I just found it out this morning. Anywho, yeah, so I think tonight is going to be a big EQ7. I think this week is going to be EQ7 week. I finished a draft of a book, of a middle school novel I've been working on, and sent it to my editor. I've got tons of other things to do, but I feel like I can take a week and clean my house and clean up my refrigerator. Please, Lord, someone needs to do that, and I'm the only one who will. And sit down and mess around with EQ7, because now that I'm actually trying to kind of making up quilts myself, this is how I learn. Always backwards. Always have to find out what are the questions that need to be answered. You can tell me all the answers before I start out, but I don't learn that way. It's better for me to make mistakes and go, well, how do I figure this out? If that makes sense. Any event. Don't trust my math. And I don't know, you know, I can't remember if I mentioned this in the last quilt diary, but we know now that Pam over at Hip to Be a Square, who I've just sort of relied on to be my math guru, has admitted to making the same mistakes as we mortals make when it comes to math. So now I feel like I'm on my own. But I remembered something that Jay says. I think I just said it like last episode, which is make visual decisions visually. Now, triangles are visual, right? You look at them. So I just put my birds in the air unit, let's call it a unit. Unit is better than element. Put that unit on my design board, and I took fabric and I just figured it out. I'm like, how much fabric do I need? You know, and I put up white pieces of fabric and I drew pencil lines and just figured, and they were close to it was pretty close to what I had figured out on paper. So that was nice. But, yeah. And so I did it. I made a mathematical decision visually and it more or less worked. Hooray. So now that's where I am. So now I have the diamond in the square. And I just posted it up on the Twilters. And I'm hoping, I don't know if I should just say that's that and then add the fabric at the top and to the sides to get the dimensions I want. Or if there are some other elements that might be nice. So I'm waiting to hear what people say. I don't know if by the time I post this, if I will have moved on or not. So, but I may do other drafts. So if you look at it, and, you know, in the show notes, and if you have ideas like, oh, next time you try this, you might try such and such, let me know, because I may make other, this is another way that I allow myself to make mistakes. When I say, well, I can do another one. You know, now that I know how to do this, it's not that hard to do. I can do another one. So that's where I am. I'm excited, though. The chevron. So yay for Quilters Newsletter 1986. I wanted to tell you, speaking of magazines, I get Country Living. I don't know why. It's just one big advertisement, but the aesthetic is close enough to mine that I enjoy looking at all the stuff they're trying to sell me. But on toward the end, where they're actually, that's called Country Living General Store. It's curated. Things curated for us to buy. But this is really interesting. There is a quilt. So it looks, it's a star quilt. It's not a Star of Bethlehem, but imagine that big medallion star with the star in the center and then echoing stars made from diamonds, etc. Graphic quilt, it says. Cool early summer evenings call for the hand-stitched favorite star quilt. And that's what they're calling it, favorite star quilt. I don't know if that's real or not. Sorry, I don't know if you could hear that. Someone who's really big and bad just drove down the main road, backfiring. Yeah. Anyway, so you can buy the pattern for $15, a kit for $80, or $900 for the 70 by 70 cotton quilt. And I thought, and it's CourtneyHimeri.com is, I guess, the designer. And I thought, good for you, Courtney. Or maybe it's Himerl. It's a hard name to say. Good for you, Courtney, I thought to myself. Because $900, you know, it's like, yeah. Who knows how long it took her to make that quilt? Who knows how long it took to design it and get it right and pick the colors? I just thought it was, you know, I'm actually looking and going, wow, that's a little high. And then I feel like such a traitor to the cause. But I will say that I'd rather see an overpriced quilt than an underpriced one, quite frankly. So I thought that was interesting. I wanted to share that with you. I don't know what else to tell you. If you are not a Twilter, you should be. But if you're not and you're just not a Facebook person, then you may not know that I have on my blog right now an interview with Marie Bostwick, who has a new book out called From Here to Home, which is a sequel to her book Between Heaven and Texas. And I just had this idea a couple of weeks ago. I thought, how can I draw more traffic to my blog. I don't want to ever, you know, write about that is a loud bird. Oh, and it's tiny too. It's on the gutter and it's just like a little wren or sparrow something. Just keeping everyone up all afternoon. Anywho. Yes. So I want to draw more traffic. I don't always want to be writing about, oh, judging quilts or invisible, you know, controversial things, right? And I thought, well, Marie Bostwick has a new book out. I wonder if she would do an interview. And she would, and she did, and she was great. I just emailing back and forth with her. She was lovely. She was funny. She just seems like a real human being. And most writers are. In fact, all writers are real human beings, but not all of them act like it. Not, you know, the people can have attitudes, and sometimes it's they need to have attitudes just to kind of keep a little distance. But Marie was not like that at all, and it was a good interview. And you know, the one thing I could bring to her were questions that maybe she hadn't been asked 1,000 times before. I read a lot of interviews that she'd done prior. And it's kind of, you know, where do you get your ideas? And, you know, if you're a writer, you get asked that a lot. And it's a perfectly legitimate question. But I thought, well, I'm not going to ask her that. In fact, I asked her several questions about quilting. And I liked her answers. She just, anyway, go read it. And if you comment before Friday, April 22nd, you will be entered into a drawing for her book, which she donated to the cause. So that was a lovely experience. So I did want to remind you or let you know. If you hadn't seen that. What else to tell you? Jack went to the prom last night, not with a date, but he looked fabulous. He really did. Let's see. And had a great time and came home very happy and telling the man he wanted to get his driver's license, which is, we drove together last week and he's driving very well, so I feel okay about that. I've not resisted him getting his driver's license. He just hasn't been that proactive. I think it's possible that there's a girl he wants to ask out. I'm just thinking that something may be going on with that. I don't know. I'm just gossiping about my own child. That's sad. All right, what else to tell you? I am reading The Boys in the Boat, which is very good, and I would recommend it. It's really just, it's interesting. I have no interest in rowing, so this is about the making of the 1936 Olympic rowing team. I don't have any interest in rowing. I've never rowed. I've never watched a race, and yet I find this book very compelling, particularly because it's just not a snapshot, but perhaps a portrait of an era. So if you're looking for a good read, I'm almost done with it, so I feel like even though I'm not finished, I'm happy to go ahead and recommend and say, yeah, it's good. I'm really enjoying it. That is the big book right now. It's long. It's 370 pages, and I need to have it read by Friday for my book group. So I think that is my news for now. I'm going to finish up here, and then if I think of anything else to tell you, I will tell you on the other side. Oh, I know one other thing. I am making a crib quilt or a baby quilt. Again, very hard to find exact. What is a crib quilt? What dimensions? Or a baby quilt? What dimensions? Nobody knows. It's a crapshoot. But Jack's advisor, Lacey, is having a baby this summer, and it turns out that the advisory is going to have a baby shower May 18th. And that's good because I've kind of had that on my list of things to do. And, but it's good to have, I needed a deadline that brought it all into focus. So I'm doing a very simple quilt. I asked her what colors she liked. So I'm taking those colors and doing strips interspersed with white. And then, cutting them on point, or yes, actually cutting them out on point. Is that right? Am I doing that? Yes, and then setting them into squares. What am I doing? I'm just making stuff up as I go along. She also might have. I just saw a picture. I looked around for pictures, and this is, you know, we've been talking about copyright and all those issues for a little while now, but you know, I don't know. I didn't take someone else's pattern. I looked at someone else's quilt and said, "Oh yeah." I can do that. It was just posted on Pinterest or something. Yes. I think if I can eyeball a quilt and figure out how it's made, in about 3 minutes, I've got the whole thing down. I think that's a pattern that's up for grabs. Or is that wrong? Well, it's too late now. It's too late. I've got the picture. I can go back and find it. But it's basically, if you saw a quilt made out of really pretty squares of fabric set in rows, and you think, yeah, I can make that. What allegiance do you owe to the maker of the quilt that you eyeballed? You tell me. And come and comment. Tell me in a comment. I love to hear from you. I've got lots of great comments. I need to thank people for comments. I will do that. and then say adios till next time. But yes, I do love to hear from you. I heard from someone on Twitter saying they had a hard time getting a comment through, and Allison over at Within a Quarter Inch had the same problem, although hers got bounced to spam. And what she sent me a link, Allison did, to a video about how to thread thread. And so, yay. Because, you know, you think that's something you know how to do, and then you start doing it all the time, as I am making this Civil War era Birds in the Air quilt. And you're like, yeah, I don't even know how to do this. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a less stupid way than the way I'm doing it. And now Allison has provided help. Thank you, Allison. Okay, I want to thank everybody who has commented, on episode 187, the Follow Your Wonk episode. Okay, I want to say thanks to Noni, who gave me a lot of great links, hand piecing tips, a YouTube video with Mary Fons on hand piecing. So I appreciate that so much. Noni says that she took a Debbie Caffrey class on Craftsy on learning to cut. And I've seen that, and that is one I'm holding off on Craftsy classes. I want to finish what I've got, but I have looked at that as a technique class I really could use. So let's see. And Allison, as I mentioned, and I will put that link to the Fabulous Knot in the show notes. Got a wonderful post comment from Jay, who, yes, says to make visual decisions visually. See, that is like such amazing advice, and I use it all the time now. So thank you, Jay. And I wanted to mention, Jay had a great post in the last couple of weeks. I can't remember if it's last week or the week before, but about how she does a ton of donation quilts. And I actually asked her in a comment how she decided on what patterns to use. And so she did a post on how she made those decisions. And I posted the link to that post. My post. How many times can I say post? Many. But anyway, so it's a great post, and I hope you are following her over at Art Quilt Maker, because she posts every day. See, posting. She writes every. She blogs every day, and always has something interesting to say. Heard from Nancy. Nancy's one I think put in Twilters that she was having a hard time commenting, but it came through, and she is a fellow messy. And she gave me a quote that she has hanging up in her sewing room. One of the advantages of being disorderly is that one is constantly making exciting discoveries. This is so true. I love this so much, Nancy. Thank you for sharing that. And Kelly the Fifth responded and said, just an excellent quote. Absolutely true. Heard from Marianne, who says, I am a good influence. That's so nice to hear. But she said she completed a quilt top that day, the day she commented. She said, I completed a quilt top today, and before I went on to the next step of making the backing, I made the binding, pressed it, and stored it, so it will be all ready when I get there. And she said, it may show what a good influence you are on me, or how much I hate making pieced backing. So yes, I think maybe... She was putting off some. You know, I have mixed feelings about piece backings, because I love, love, love how they look. And I love how it allows you to use fabric scraps from the top, and just to be thrifty, which is my nature. I just hate buying like 4 yards of fabric when I've got all this fabric at home that I could piece together. I totally love how a piece back looks. But I have to say, sometimes they're exhausting to contemplate. You know, you're like, oh, I'm going to do a piece back, and that's going to look so good. And then when you get to it, you're like, oh, God, this is going to take forever. So, yeah, I totally get that. In the most recent Quilters newsletter, there's actually an article on pieced backs. And there was recently, until last week, I think, at the Quilters Museum, the National Quilting Museum in Paducah, they had an exhibit focusing on pieced backs. So the quilts were hung so that you could see the front and the back. And I would have loved to have seen that, because, you know, again, I love a piece back. I'm always excited by my... So I'm always excited by my own. But you know, like you've made a quilt and maybe you've put it away for storage, or it's hanging on the wall or whatever. Or even it's on the couch, you know, right side up. And then you pull it out and you look at the back and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot all about the back. I think that's just super cool. Got a comment from Vicky, who's a wonderful blogger. If I think I do have Vicky's blog on my blog roll, and now I can't think what it's called, Vicky. Maybe if I think about it, I'll actually link to it in the show notes, or maybe I can get over there. Anyway, she is a recent listener, a new listener, a newish listener. She's very active on Twilters, and that's how I discovered her blog. And she is also introverted. Yay! Welcome to, I think, a big club here in quilting podcast land. And also self-taught at many things and left-handed. Basically, Vicky and I, we're the same person. Oh, and Vicky's blog, which I think she's a pretty consistent blogger and makes beautiful quilts. It's called My Creative Corner. And it's a blog about my creative endeavors and life in a northern town. Her quilts are super beautiful. So, you know, I should link to this. This was a really good post. I don't think I commented on it. I should. I'm trying to be better about commenting, but it was making what I like, or why I don't give away many of my quilts anymore. Maybe I'm going to do that right now, make a link. Anyway, check that out. And Vicky, thank you for commenting, for your comment. In her comment, she said, you should be proud of what you have learned and don't demean yourself in saying, quote unquote, self-taught skills. And she goes on to say, I have only taken a couple of quilting classes over the decades, and most of what you need to know you already have in your heart. And she says, I love hand quilting, but I've had to give it up due to arthritis, and now I long arm. I'm sorry to hear that, but excited about the long arming. And you say, a nice blessing from your mother. So did your mother give you a long arm machine? My mom gave me a Bernina, but maybe she'll give me a long arm machine one of these days. In any event, Vicky, thank you so much for commenting and for blogging, and I will link to your blog so folks can check it out. And I heard from Charlotte, who has a video tutorial on knot tying on her blog too, and I will find the link to that and post that as well, and we'll all learn how to tie better knots. And just got a comment from Elizabeth, and who was very nice about my straight line quilting on the VFW quilt, which I still have to finish the last part. The couple just tiny places of repair, and I'm going to do that, and there will be pictures on the blog post. So, everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for these comments. They do make me very, very happy. I know, like Jackie posted in Twilters today. She's like, I comment in my head. You know, she listens to me in the car and comments in her head, and I totally get that because I do the same thing. So thank you for commenting in your head, and thank you, those of you who are commenting on the blog, because, you know, it makes me happy. And it was very funny. I've gotten a lot of comments on the Marie Bostwick blog, people who are entering, you know, who are commenting to win, but it's very nice because it's like the people I know, like who listen to this podcast and comment or on Twilters, they're like great interview and great interview questions. It's like, oh, those are my friends, the ones who say, oh, good questions too, Francis. Like, anyway, y'all just make me very happy. So you should know that. I hope you have a great week. I will be back next week, 10 days. And is that right? Or a week after, soon enough. I'll be back soon enough. And between now and then, do lots of interesting quilty stuff. Let me hear from you and take care of yourself and the people you love. That's sort of corny, but I'll say it. I stand by that. I stand by it. Okay, then.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.